session number 22634, reel 4.
Eva Klein, reel 4.
When we were captured by the soldiers, I gave them some Christmas cakes, which is traditional in Hungary, and they didn't want to take the cake. I said, look, it's Christmas, at least let's celebrate. And whatever money we had, we gave them. I said, look, I'm not going back. If you want us to go back to Hungary, we are walking since 6 o'clock. That's it. At the end, they let us go. Thank God. Nobody else, in the dark, on the field, in the snow, I could hardly walk anymore. And they had guns. They could have killed us immediately, but it didn't really matter. We were so cold and so tired. And of course we had whatever we had on, we couldn't carry anything. No, my husband had two suits. I was pregnant. I could hardly got into any normal clothes. Well, I had a few clothes on, blouses and God knows what. And we managed to get to Austria by 4 o'clock.
What part of the border would that have been?
At Nikolsdorf. They called Nikolsdorf. Nichols. N-I-C-K-E-L-S-D-O-R-F. Nikolsdorf. Where Austrian people were waiting for the people. They knew, yes, they were coming through in hundreds, but we couldn't see anybody. We met one pair. They were already walking back. But those days they were coming back and forth. You know, the black market flourished those days, as usual. And they said, oh, are you just going? We are coming back already. Said, good luck to you. So we had some transport to go to Vienna, but by the time we got there, I couldn't walk any longer. And we were in a big place. They gave us some coffee and cheese, and they took us to Vienna, and I was looking for my nephew there because I knew where he would be staying. But by the time we arrived, they were not there. He already left for America. So somebody said there that we have to go to the police, we have to get some yellow card, green card, gray card, some kind of card, I call it. And I went to the police station. We queued there. We had nowhere to go, nowhere to sleep. We were already on our foot for 36 hours or so. And by chance we met my husband's good friend there. He said, oh, we are in a place, you come with us, you can sleep there on the sofa. The sofa was about a yard wide, but we could sleep 10, 15 people already in the room, so they gave us the place.
Were there many people leaving Hungary then?
Yes. They said about, 200,000, but if the statistics, according to the registration, it was less than 200,000, because, you know, people tried to get further from Vienna or Austria, and they registered to America, to Belgium, to Switzerland, to more places. And if the statistics according to the registration, I mean, then they might have been less than 200,000.
Had you any idea where you wanted to go, you and your husband?
No, I wanted to go to Israel, because as soon as we left Hungary, my brother applied for the visa immediately. And I have a few letters. I have all his letters. And in one of them he said, we are hoping to get the visa by April, I don't know. And it was December, January 57, when they started to apply. And they did manage to leave Hungary in May 57. By that time they had the visa and everything ready to go. But we got to Vienna in at the end of December, and by the 6th of January I was already in hospital to lose the baby. And I had to give birth to the baby from Sunday, which is not the best day to go to hospital in Vienna, you know, Sunday. They had to wait until the visitor's time ends. Nobody attended me. I couldn't do anything. I was just waiting. And the evening doctor came to see me and he said, you have to give birth to the baby. And I was bleeding like hell until Thursday. So from that time in and out of hospital, at the end I left in August.
You left Vienna?
In August, the hospital. I left the hospital. They kept me for 6 weeks because the Red Cross wouldn't pay for me or whoever, and I had to leave the hospital after, say, 6 weeks. 2 weeks later, I was taken back again for another few weeks, a terrible condition. And when the time ended, I had to leave again because, according to the agreement, I couldn't stay any longer. And it was again about 2 weeks when I was in such a condition that they took me back to the hospital immediately, and they drained, I don't know, about 2 liter pus because I was infected. On the same night they did it. They couldn't wait any longer. And then I stayed, as I said, until the 6th of August this time, but I left on my own accord because I didn't want to stay any longer. They couldn't do anything. They gave me heat treatment, and after one visit, the professor said, out with the heat treatment, put ice on it. And the next day I said to the nurse, thank you very much, enough is enough. I'm not a guinea pig. You try it on somebody else. She said, but you can't leave now. You are not well at all. I said, I know. That's why I'm leaving, because I'm not well and well enough. And those days it was a lager for the people, refugees, And I joined my husband there because he was living there already. And
what sort of conditions was there in this lager?
It was more or less in 1944, but you were free there. You know, it
but
was
not,
no, it was a sort of not hospital, recovery place or something where I was put immediately to this sort of recovery. It was a nurse and people looking after, like Mike and me, my condition, and I think it was a school or something. I'm not quite sure, but we could go. I couldn't go out because I could hardly walk. I was about, I don't know, 5 or 6 stones. I lost a lot of weight, and I was in a very, very bad condition. But here I am, on
so
my feet.
You were saying you wanted to go to Israel.
I wanted to go to Israel,
yes.
But I think my husband wanted to register to go to America or something. We didn't quite agree on this. And to go to Israel, they wouldn't let me fly there because it was probably too expensive or something, only by boat, which I couldn't do in my condition. And I was in this lager for a year or so.
With your husband?
With my husband. Then I didn't get any better, really. Then one day I decided to take the journey by boat, and I left him there, and I went to Israel, and I stayed there for 2 years. And
so
in the meantime, my mother and my brother and his wife already immigrated to Israel. And of course, as soon as his old students heard about him being there, they all came to see to. He was very chummy and kind, warm person, and they loved him dearly. And one of his ex-students was a gynecologist, and he was willing to look after me. And they said, look, you do what you like, but here is the opportunity. And I took it. And I went to Israel, and gradually I got better. And my husband stayed in Vienna for a while. And then actually his friend sent his, he's a shoe designer, and he had some drawings, and he sent it to a place here in South Wales. They
some
were advertising for somebody. And the boss went to Vienna to meet him, and he had the job, and he came here in 59. Then in 1960, he was already living in Cardiff, and I joined him.
Did you mind leaving Israel?
I did, because it was home. I found my cousins, three siblings, cousins were already there, and another cousin from another side, and it was good to have a family again, and they were very, very good to us. And you know, my mother was the only survivor from the family, and she was auntie and grandmother, and mother and everything to everybody.
What was life in Israel like at that time? You know, because this was fairly soon after the war, wasn't it?
It was another beginning, but it was with a family. Do you know what I mean? They had a tiny little place where they lived when I arrived there, but it didn't matter. Do you know, in Israel, if you joined them, they will, not only their bed will be yours and the bedroom will be yours, they will go out and give the whole place for you to to feel at home.
Did you find much difference when you went to Wales? How did you get on with the Welsh people? Did you speak English?
I did learn Welsh. I said to the girls then that I will shame you. I would learn Welsh just to shame you. Because they didn't speak any Welsh. I did learn English. I learned it in Israel as well. So I had a little bit of knowledge. And I learned Hebrew as well, so, you know, I managed with my English, I managed. And I didn't go to school here, I didn't learn the language here, but...
Was it easy to adapt, though, to Wales after, you know, having lived in Israel for a couple of years?
No, it wasn't easy at all, but I met a few Hungarian origins, you know, and we became good friends, and it was the basic, you know.
I expect it was good to be with your husband again after all those years.
Yes, it was strange. The whole setup was very strange. You know, when if you leave your home and you go to another place and you settle, or you try to settle down. But when you go, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy, but. His boss was very nice. He was originally from Germany, and he took me in to the accounts to the office as an accounts girl. It was a special machine I had to operate, which wasn't very difficult really, although I never, you know, like computer. It was something like a computer, but those days, in 1960. So, because it was a special thing and I learned it and specialized on this, they gave him permission for me to work there. And I stayed there for 2 years.
Did you ever receive compensation, you and your husband, for being slave labourers?
I applied in Vienna. When I heard about it, I wrote to my brother. They were still in Hungary. And he wrote me back, try everything to get every penny from them. And I applied, but I didn't get any money until... Oh, gosh. A few years ago. No, my sister-in-law was still alive when we first had some 2,000 marks, I think. She had the same. But nothing for whatever.
But were you actually compensated for the labour you did? Have you ever been?
Lately, I had some money. Lately, but my husband never. Mm. My husband didn't. We just send the application off a few weeks ago.
Yes, because there has been a new campaign, hasn't there?
Yes.
By Rudy Kennedy and others to get this money, I know.
Yeah.
Yes. It's obviously very painful for you to talk about this, Ava. Do you feel sort of impelled that you have to?
No, as I said, as you get older, your mind is a bit playing tricks. Do you know what I mean? You can't get the right word or whatever out of your mind. It's there, but it doesn't come out. Unfortunately.
Well, you've remembered an awful lot, and thank you.
Do remember a lot more than this, you know, but I can tell you one little story. When I was in Israel, just before I came to England, to South Wales, to Cardiff, some friends and relatives came to say goodbye to me, because, you know, once you leave, you never know when you will be able to see them again. And my husband, he wasn't there, of course, he had no money to travel. His uncle and aunt was there, and my friend and her husband, they started talking, and my friend wanted to go home. She said, look, it's so late, we have to go home. And the other said, was your husband in Boer as well? The two couples talking. She said, God forbid he wasn't. Had he been in Boer, we would never leave here, because they had so much to talk about. You know, the two camp survivors. They could never stop.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Ava, for talking to me today.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. With this talk between camp survivors, would you necessarily have spoken to people outside that group?
No.
Why was that?
No, because I'm too shy and too emotional to talk. No.